Thank you, Kyla, so much. And thanks for making the shift to the sanctuary. I really appreciate it. I love this setting. While you were downstairs, I've just been praying over the room and asking God to flood it with his peace and his courage and what he would just have for each one of you. It was 11 years ago that my MOPS life started. I wanted 10 children. I don't know what I was thinking, but I wanted 10. But I didn't meet my husband until we were both 32. And babies didn't come easy for us. And God chose to grow our family through the gift of adoption. And he decided to throw his godly sense of humor in the mix by bringing us two girls within 6 months of each other. And I needed MOPS desperately. And so I started my MOPS life at Emmanuel Christian Center up in Spring Lake Park, I think technically, Fridley area up there. And then the next year we moved to Becker. And I was like, okay, new community, new people, I need MOPS. There was no MOPS in Becker. There is now, but there wasn't then. But there was MOPS in a nearby town, Monticello. And I was getting to know this woman at church, and just flippantly I said, someday when I grow up, I'm going to be a discussion group leader. Well, the next week, the team leader for the discussion group leaders called me and said, I hear you want to be a discussion group leader. And the only reason I confess that I said yes was because it got me off the waiting list and I could take my girls to MOPS. That's the only reason. I'm just being honest. So I had my group of women, and I'm a one-on-one girl. I love talking to you one-on-one. I was not, my DNA is not built for groups, but God's so funny. So I was discussion group leader and loved it. Just fell in love with those women, those moms, and got really connected. And then I attended, I think, St. Louis Convention, before they went from Gaylord to Gaylord. They had them in other places, and so St. Louis was my first MOPS experience, and my first, they were yelling, like, CC, sit over here, and I'm like, what is a CC? I didn't have a clue. I was just totally clueless to field leadership, did not know anything about it. Found out that was council coordinator. You don't have those anymore, so I'm really dating myself, but it's like, a friend and I, we were meeting over coffee, well, hot chocolate for me, coffee for her, and she said, Deb, I really think you'd be good at that. And I said, well, they speak. They get up in front of people, and they have to talk. And I just, no, if one-on-one, I'd be great, but, oh, no, I can't do that. So I met with the area coordinator from Minnesota when I got back. She's like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to speak. You can just do your one-on-one thing. We'll give you a bunch of groups, and you can just love on them. And that was just totally up my alley. And so I signed my life away. Not really. It just seemed like it. And our first gathering was a training event like this. And there hadn't been a council coordinator, area coordinator in Minnesota for lots of years. So can you imagine? You guys have such a great leadership team, but there wasn't that. So these MOPS leaders all over the state were really hungry for leadership and some training. And so we had this training up in New Brighton at Salem Covenant Church. And there were over 200 leaders from all over the state. And my job was just to minister one-on-one, provide encouragement, listen to them. Well, then the area coordinator decided she needed to be called away to Texas. Well, I wasn't in the plan either. And she called me up, Deb, will you speak? Will you, and you have to prepare the talk because I don't have that done. And it's like, no, I didn't sign up for that. But I did it. My knees were knocking. I threw up I don't know how many times before I spoke. And I was just like, don't let it get on the dress. You know, it was just awful. And that next week, my phone started ringing. Deb, we heard you at the training event. Will you come and speak to my MOPS group? No, thanks. I just did that for Rochelle. No, I'm not a speaker. The phone kept ringing, and my husband's like, You're not getting it. So I started saying yes. And I started with 12 groups, MOPS groups, that I could love on. And when I left MOPS 2 years later, because all of a sudden I was speaking, not just MOPS, Deb, will you come to our retreat? Oh, I don't do retreats, I do MOPS groups. And then my husband's like, you don't get it, you're not paying attention. And so when I left, I had 24 groups. My territory didn't grow, just my MOPS groups grew. And that was such a cool thing. And Jody was one of them. Jody, where are you? She started out, we birthed Annandale MOPS, because she served in Buffalo MOPS. And we birthed together Annandale. She did such a great job as a coordinator for that group. And I knew then she was field leader material. So I started praying on the side. I didn't share my prayer with her. It would have scared her silly, I think. She would have went running the other way. Like a guy coming up and you'd say, God told me you're going to marry me, that kind of thing. So I didn't dare do that, but I prayed for her. And then the day the email came, Deb, I'm kind of thinking about, I'm squealing, jumping up and down. And so God has just done so much. And so that's what MOPS did. So I'm just passionate about MOPS. If a MOPS group calls me to come and speak, I do whatever I can to say yes and get there. My weekends might be really crazy busy, but I have a hard time saying no to MOPS because that's where my heart is. I love you women, and I pray for you. Your group's all over, and when I'm traveling and I'm going to a speaking event, like a retreat or something, I'll be driving through a city, and it's like, Lord, is there a MOPS group here? If there's not, will you grow one here? And that's what he's doing, and that's so cool. So when Kyla called me to speak today, I was honored and so excited. And then she said, I think she called me or emailed me, I can't remember, and she said, I was waiting for the topic so I could know how to prepare. And she said, we're just going to let you go. I mean, that's just like saying something to a dog, to a speaker. It's like, we're just whatever you want to talk about, you can talk about. So that next morning in my quiet time, I have my little chair and I'm just praying for you guys. It's like, okay, Lord, I can talk whatever I want. So I'm ready. I'm listening. Nothing. And that went on for a few weeks and I started panicking. Lord, usually you give me something right away and I go and I research and nothing. And so I wasn't going to call Kyla and say, I've got nothing. So that next morning is like, instead of just asking for it, I just started praying for you guys. Just praying for you. And then God just swooped it in like he does with me, and I couldn't write fast enough. And so I've been simmering over this for a while, so I'm just ready to burst because it's been sitting and simmering. And so we're going to start. And you have a handout, like the second to the last page. It's called I'm Not, But God Is. And God brought to mind 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So that's how this talk started, with this verse. And I must apologize up front, I'm a word nerd. When I study, I've got my kitchen table just commentaries and dictionaries and Bible software. It's pretty sorry, but I love it. And so we're going to break apart this verse kind of word for word. And I know that sounds really boring, but it's not. God's word is alive and active, and he's got so much to teach us out of this one verse. We're going to start with Abel. And it is my prayer that as we go through verse by verse, word by word, that God will use his word, these words, to seep deep into your hearts and your minds and to strengthen you, to embolden you, to encourage you as you serve and as you lead in your families and in the moms in your community. So God is able. Please say that with me. God is able. The definition to able is capable, strong, powerful, mighty. You know, like when we say God is love, or God is faithful, God is omnipotent, God is able. He cannot not be able. He cannot be a little bit able, or some days a lot able. He is able, period. Strong, mighty, capable. Always, always, he cannot deny himself. We may not always see that in our circumstances because our vision is quite limited. And so you might look at a circumstance in your life and you're like, Deb, God is not showing himself able right now. We don't have a job, or we're losing our home, or my child is really struggling. I'm not seeing able right now. We need to remember that our vision is limited, and God is always able. And we in the Brown family have learned that daily lately. Two verses. 2 Timothy 1:12 is one of my favorites. Timothy's saying, and that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. So that thing where you're not seeing God's able, he's asking us to entrust him with it anyway. That thing that's most painful, that thing where you have more questions than answers, that thing that can drive you to weeping in a heartbeat, that thing, God wants it. He wants you to entrust it to him because he is able. And Hebrews 2:18, because he, Jesus, himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What is that thing? And I think as leaders, too much is given, much is required. So as God takes us on that path of leadership, he might require more of you than he's requiring someone next to you, in your family, in your church, in your community. He might be requiring more of you, a discipline that he wants to bring out into your life, because he's preparing you for that next thing. I'm not much of a TV watcher, but when my husband's gone, that's the only adult conversation I get. So imagine my surprise and maybe a little anger at God when I felt him saying, Deb, I want you to give up TV for a while. What? NCIS? Are you kidding me? I love NCIS. Oh, for how long? Sometimes we can do things if we know it's not forever. But God wouldn't give me that answer. I just had to say yes. But so-and-so, she didn't have to give up TV. I was getting a little whiny about it. But God was preparing me for something else, and he needed me free from some distraction. So as God keeps calling you further and further in your walk with him, and he's using leadership to do it, you might be asked to give up something that we think is no big deal. And sometimes it's just for a season, I don't know. But he is able, he wants to help you, and he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like when I walk by that TV and I want to turn it on, and I don't. He knows, and he's going to give me what I need. The next word is all. God is able to make all. Pretty simple word, three letters, what's the big deal? But in this verse, there are four of them. So if something is repeated in the Word of God, considering what all could be in there, that means I need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. The definition for all is every, the whole, all things, everything. So when I think about this chocolate bar, which on the way home to Becker would take me over an hour to get there, I could eat all of it. Be very sick later, but it would be, or I could take a taste and it would be good. But this is the all, the whole thing. All. So who loves chocolate as much as I do? Anybody? You can't open this yet because I need it before the end of the talk, okay? So just hang on. Maybe she'll share. Maybe she won't. I don't know. And the next word is grace, and I forgot to put that in your handout. I'm not sure why. That's just a travesty that I would leave that word out. But grace. The sweetest definition that just undid me was the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence, turns us to Jesus. Yep, I will repeat that. The merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence, turns us to Jesus. I love that. I put it on a post-it note, actually, and have it on my computer. When I was little, I heard that definition of the acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And there's three verses that just shout grace to me. The first one is John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, his merciful kindness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And in a minute, I'll be sharing why that verse is so sweet to me. And Hebrews 4:16, then let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Not fear, not weariness, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As we get these words and we get the definitions and they go deep in our hearts, when we say this verse in a minute, it's going to mean more. We're going to understand it more. And then the last word is abound. Abound. To exceed. To be left over. Over and above. To overflow. To excel. To abound. So tell me what this is. A rose. And tell me what this is. A rose. Both are roses. This is just starting. This bud is just starting. This is in full bloom. This is abound. This is abound. I love that word picture. When I read the verse, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, not just a little grace, not just grace to get us by, but abounding, full bloom grace. Isn't that just like God to do that for us? So now, I am really one into scripture memory. And it has changed my life. It has changed my walk with the Lord. And if someone 50 years old can memorize scripture, all of you young pups can memorize scripture. So don't tell me that you can't, because you can't. This year, I've had the privilege, this is year three of mentoring a high school student. Her name is JD, and I love her to pieces. And she's a senior this year. And last January, we get together once a month. So it was last December. We got together, and I said, JD, so the new year, what are you thinking? We don't do resolutions. What do you want? What are you thinking? Deb, I need your help. I need to memorize God's word. I really haven't been, and I really want to. And that was my goal for the new year. And I don't know how many of you get on Beth Moore's blog, and anybody a siesta in here? Well, anyway, Beth is doing a scripture memory thing where twice a month, on the 1st and the 15th, you get on her blog. Thousands of women are doing it. And we just list the verse that we're memorizing. So on her comments, on her blog, are just pages and pages of scripture memory of women around the country, around the world, memorizing scripture. Just love it. But then I get together with JD, and we say our verses together. And it is a powerful time when an old lady and a sweet young lady get together and we're sharing God's word together. And just this morning, it's October 1st, it's time for verse 19. I memorized 19 verses this year. That's good. That's really good. And I texted JD my verses. And she's at a tennis tournament, so I'm just waiting for her to text me hers. And that's how we communicate and hold each other accountable. And so we are going to memorize this verse before you leave today. So, here we go. You can cheat. I'll let you cheat. From your handout. Now, so we're going to do hand motions because if we, like Amy said this morning in her talk, if we engage different parts of our brain, we're going to remember more. Because if I just stood up here and just talked, wah, 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 and you left, by Wednesday, you would remember 10% of my talk. But because we're going to do some interactive stuff today, by Wednesday, there's a good chance that you're going to remember 85 to 90% of my talk. So if I'm going to put the time into this, I'm going for the 80 to 95%. Wouldn't you? Yes. Say yes. Okay. So we're going to do some hand motions, and we're going to use those props I gave away, which are yours to keep, but you're going to use those, okay? So, and God, of course, is able. Remember, Abel is strong, so we're going to be muscle men. Anybody have a two-year-old little muscle man at home? Okay, so God is able to make all, where's my candy bar? Hold that bar up high. All grace, this is grace, abound, where are my flowers? Abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Okay, let's do that one more time. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Will you ever think of that verse without a chocolate bar again? I don't think so. So why this verse? Why this verse? Out of all the verses in Holy Writ, why this one? Here's why. I think we as women can get so easily stuck in that place that I call I'm not, that we miss out on living out God's very best for us. I did not say easy, I said best. So that place of I'm not may look like I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not creative enough. I'm not pretty enough or thin enough or healthy enough, or I'm not like, you fill in the blank. Last spring, I was speaking at a MOPS group, and it was the end of the year, so they were recruiting leaders, you know, for the next year, and they got up and went on and on and on about this amazing activities director. And I'm sure she was. I'm sure she was. But you go on and on and on about how amazing and wonderful, and then you say, and now we need to replace her. Who in their right mind is going to stand up and say, let it be me? Who? Every one of those women, I could just tell their wheels were turning. They were going to the place of I'm not. And I felt bad. And I know why they did it, to love on and encourage the one that was leaving. But they had a hole to dig. And as of this fall, they still did not have one to do it. She fell into that place really quick of I'm not. We can become so focused on what we think our inability is that we lose sight of who God is and his part in our calling. Because what? God is able. When our calling as a wife, as a mom, as a sister, as a daughter, as a friend, as a ministry partner, a leader, gets hard, and those things get hard, we head for I'm not because we want it to be easier. Where in the Bible did God ever ask anyone to do anything that was easy? I know of not one place. If it were easy, we wouldn't need him. How can he be able if we don't need him? When we're living in I'm not, we're choosing to believe that God could never use us to accomplish anything significant, despite the overwhelmingly biblical evidence that God most accomplished anything extraordinary by using ordinary people. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. We need to make that daily, sometimes for me, moment by moment, choice to give God all of my ordinary. And he takes our ordinary, and he takes all of our I'm nots, and he wraps them in his extraordinary. And he shows off his glory. It's who he is. It's what he loves to do. And he's going to use you to do it. What if Abraham, Sarah said, I'm not going to believe God anymore. I'm too old. What if Esther said, I can't be queen. I'm not of the right bloodline. What if Mary said, I can't say yes to a baby. I'm not married. What if those people chose their I'm nots instead of following after God? What if? I told you earlier that I wasn't the speaking type. I read a friend once, she said, I'm a speaker who would rather listen and a writer who would rather read. And that is so me. That is so me. But God loves to take the weakest parts of who we are and show himself off. When I was first getting my girls, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness. And for the longest time, it was just my pain in the, I called it my pain in the butt illness. If you have a chronic illness or you know someone who does, sometimes you can look at someone and you think, there's nothing wrong with them. They look fine. But on the inside, there's a battle going on. And for me, my chronic illness affects my shoulders on up, speaking, chewing, swallowing, smiling, blinking. You know, things that people might not notice when you're up front speaking. Yeah. And so often my excuse was, Lord, I can't be a speaker because I have MG. I can't. But he kept opening that door and opening that door and opening that door. And some days I'd be like, Lord, if you don't show up, I'm toast. And there were some times where I was like, Lord, I can't even understand myself in my garbled speech. How is anyone else going to understand me? But then my audience of women didn't notice a difference. And I might be really, really weary tomorrow and Monday. So there's nothing on my calendar for tomorrow and Monday after getting to be here. But it's what God has called me to do. My neurologist hates it every time I visit with him. Are you still doing the speaking thing? He says in his cute little Vietnamese accent. Yes, Dr. Nguyen. No, I don't want you to do that anymore. I know, Dr. Nguyen, but God says so. I don't know if I believe in that God. I know, Dr. Nguyen, that's really sad, but I got... We've been together a long time. We have these conversations. And I was, the worst part of MG is when it goes into crisis and it affects your breathing and it cuts off your swallowing. Red alert. You need to breathe and you need to swallow. And I've been having crisis several times. 3 years ago, I had a major crisis and almost died. And last summer, I had crisis. It wasn't quite as bad as the first time. And this summer, just over Labor Day weekend, was in the hospital again. And got out on Monday, Labor Day, and then Tuesday night, I always open for the Foley Mops group. I've done like 9 or 10 years in a row. I don't know why they keep inviting me back, because they know every story. But God keeps giving me new stories, and they keep inviting me back. And just like Harvest Mops, I'm going to be there in a couple weeks. And, you know, they know everything about me, but they keep inviting me back. So I just love them. And so a friend drove me, and I spoke, and I was just so excited because God gave me strength to do that. And I'm not sure Dr. Nguyen would be so hyped if he found out that the day after he let me out that I was speaking. But and so then I was speaking, and it's like, okay, Lord, I'll be toast if you don't show up. And I was starting to be really confident in that. But then God took it a step further, and he said, now, Deb, I want you to start writing. Whoa, Nellie, I'm not a writer. So, no, I can't do that. I can't put myself out there like that. I put on the brakes of fear so quick, girls. You would have still seen the skid lines of God dragging and me just. And a year ago this summer, I went to a women's conference, and they said, come prepared to pitch your book idea, and I just laughed. And I did have a book in my heart, but I was like, no, I'm not a writer. You know how you just kind of get those willy-nillies and you just want to say no. You just want to say no to God, and you know you're being disobedient, but you think, what could be the worst thing of disobedience? I wouldn't have to write a book. You know, so you just do that. So I went and I pitched my idea, and it was brave as a girl can be. How about that? I got home from the conference, and they called, and they said, Deb, we really like your book idea. And I had to put the guy on hold and go throw up. He thought I was taking care of my children. I wasn't. And I came back, and he's like, don't, Deb, we really want to publish your book, but you need to get your blog going, and you need to... And this year has been really hard physically, so I haven't been able to do all the writing. And so now the publication date has been pushed back to June. But 50,000 words is a lot of words. They say I could use some twice, but still 50,000 words is a lot of words. But God's teaching me so much. And every day I have to get on the floor and say, Lord, I say yes. I say yes. But you have to help me because I don't want to say yes. But God is able to make all grace abound to this poor, pitiful, fearful girl. And I wrote a Bible study last spring, and I was able to teach it to women in my community. God is so good. God is so good. A dear friend of mine, her name is Sarah. She's 38. She also had a horrific chronic illness, and she met Jesus last Saturday. She emailed me one day, and she said, "I had to choose fear or completely trust him. One cannot exist if the other is true." So, ladies, fear or trust, they can't exist together. So what are your I'm nots? Those things that you can give God the laundry list in a heartbeat. What are your I'm nots? You were given a white card when you came in. If you don't have one, raise your hand and I will make sure you get one. Can you pass those back? That'd be great. Thank you. I want you to take a moment. I'm not going to lose crowd control here. And I want you to list just really quickly. Those things are just right at the top. I don't want you to think about it. Just write. What are your I'm nots? I'm not dot, 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 and then make your list. I think often we think that we're the only one walking around with that I'm not, that we're the only ones. And that, women, is just not true. It's a lie straight from the pit. It's a lie that the enemy uses to keep you stuck, to keep you from doing all that God has planned for you. God says to each of us in this room, don't be afraid to show others who I made you to be. Don't be afraid to show others who I made you to be. We all miss out when you choose I'm not. When you choose fear over faith, we all lose. We all lose. So, we're going to do something here. I'm going to say, I'm not, and then someone's going to shout out one of their I'm nots. We're among friends. And then together as a group, we're going to say, but God is able. So we'll practice with one of mine, okay? I'm not healthy enough, but God is able. I'm not patient, but God is able. I'm not a good enough wife, but God is able. I'm not organized, but God is able. I'm not able to say the right thing, but God is able. One more. I'm not perfect, but God is able. Now, across your index card, that's what I want you to write. God is able. God is able. And then I would like you to bring up your card to this altar up here and exchange your card, your I'm not card, for a bookmark that I made you with today's verse on it. So we're going to lay those I'm nots at the altar. And we're going to ask God, with all the strength that he is able, we could just leave them here. We might be tempted to pick it up on the way out. But I truly believe God wants this to be left here. So when you're ready, come on up. Leave your card and then pick up your bookmark, and then I have one more thing for us. I've been asking God to plant this verse way down deep into our hearts. And I'll be praying that same thing all the way home. But we're going to personalize it. So where you see a you, that's going to change to me, the first one, and then the other you is going to be an I. And then when we get to will abound in every good work, we're going to say, I will abound as a, and then I want you to say, your leadership role, your coordinator, MOPETs, whatever it is, that's where we're going to fill that in, okay? And then I have a dedication to pray over you. So will you stand up, please, and we'll do this together. And God is able to make all grace abound to me so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound as a coordinator. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Lord, bless these leaders. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.